Hare Krishna. Today a question from a Brijbasi Das. I know not from where. It's a nice name. And he asks questions relating to Lord Balaram's relationship with Krishna, particularly in regards to these incidents. One, why did Lord Balaram threaten to kill and even try Arjuna when Arjuna kidnapped Subhadra? Two, why was Lord Balaram favorable towards Duryodhana, who was such a bad person? And number three, why was then also Lord Balaram so disgusted when Bhim finally killed, albeit by dishonest means, Duryodhan by smashing his thighs with a club? And it's a nice question because it highlights the pastimes of the Lord and allows us to sort of enter into meditation on how and why things happen. And here are some thoughts that I'll share with you. Firstly, we know that when Krishna manifests his pastimes, then his pastimes are just that. They are pastimes. And pastimes means something that are done for his pleasure. And those things that give him greatest pleasure are human-like pastimes, human activities. And all the characteristics that we see in living entities, conditioned souls in the material world, have their original pure form in the Lord himself. So he manifests these, and as a result, there appears to be contradictions, such as favoring a immoral person, like Lord Balaram favoring Duryodhan, attacking a good person, like Arjuna, Krishna's best friend. But these are mundane considerations. These are material considerations of right and wrong. We know that because Krishna is the absolute truth, his pastimes, unlike our pastimes, all of these apparent contradictions become then resolved because everything that he does or performs is always perfect and it's always right. And our measure, relative measure of what's right and wrong can be misleading. And therefore, we need to keep this in perspective when we look at these things. So, we see that there's a real ingredient of drama being added to the Lord's pastimes when, of all people, someone who Krishna is certainly not going to kill. Krishna may be willing to kill Bhishma Dev, but he's not going to kill Balaram when he attacks Arjuna. So Krishna has to use a different tact. He ends up begging him on his hands and knees, and he begs on Krishna, on Arjuna's behalf. Now, we don't have any other incidents, so I don't know any other incident of Krishna begging someone to spare the life of his devotee. But here we see Krishna is begging. That gives Krishna great pleasure. It also shows a wonderful side of Krishna, that Krishna is willing to do anything in order to protect his devotee, even from his own personal expansion. So that's a really wonderful feature, a really wonderful feature of his character that can only be brought out under abnormal or extraordinary circumstances. Extraordinary characteristics, qualities, come out under extraordinary circumstances. So we see Krishna's extraordinary begging, Lord Balaram, coming out under this type of extraordinary situation. As far as Duryodhan is concerned, of course, he's Kuru, he's family member, he's part of the family. So immediately, the fact that he's part of the family, there's a type of affection or a relationship. And because Duryodhan always showed affection towards Lord Balaram, for the sake of giving Krishna pleasure in his pastimes. He reciprocated with that, increased that dynamic of the leela, of the pastime. We can see a similar phenomena, and, well, let's just go to the last example, when after finishing his tour of holy places in India, Lord Balaram arrives at Kurukshetra on the last day of the battle, and he sees the battle taking place. He's trying to get Duryodhana and Bhima not to fight, but they don't listen to him anyway, so they enter into this really, really horrible battle in which by hook and crook Bhima kills Duryodhana. And again, Lord Balaram shows displeasure. It adds to the entire pastime. What does it add? It adds different types of perspective. It adds a different view. Rather than everyone being overjoyed, it adds a certain amount of contrast and polarity. And all of these things, of course, give pleasure to Krishna. And that's what it's all about. That's all what his pastimes are all about. And we should keep in mind that in these pastimes being spoken about, Krishna's divinity is quite well known. In other words, Krishna's not fully manifesting human pastimes, or sort of human-like, but not human. When we get to Vrindavan, we see even more contradictions taking place in Krishna's behavior as a thief, as someone who tells lies, as someone who dances with others' wives. Once again, from the material point of view, seeming to be immoral. But from the point of view of transcendental truths, we know that it's actually the highest expression of love, and because it's performed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then actually it itself becomes truth, and our perception of what's moral and immoral are things that need to be readjusted. Srimati Radharani and her group always argue with Chandravali and so on. The cowherd boys climb on Krishna's shoulders. They berate him. They make fun of him. So many other things are going on. All this adds to Krishna's pleasure. It makes for variety. It gives him the ability to really be absorbed in the fact that he's just a cowherd boy. Not God descended on earth playing the role of a king, but that he's actually a cowherd boy. And so we see all these different contradictions which are there, some which we may be able to resolve, some which we may not. Let me just conclude by giving one that I've not as yet been able to resolve, although I often think about it, and this is in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. There we know about Balabhacharya, who's the head of the Pushtimarg Sampradaya. He is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, was originally a recognized Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Lord, but he couldn't really quite handle Lord Chaitanya's criticism of him. He went off and he started his own Sampradaya, his own disciplic succession. And it's a disciplic succession, Pushtimarg Sampradaya, that's very popular and very famous, although Gaudiya Vaishnavas don't consider it to be, say, completely authorized or bona fide. And yet, Kavi Karnapur points out that he is Shukadeva Goswami in Krishna's pastimes. So how is it that Shukadeva Goswami, the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, is now someone who spoke about Krishna's appearance in the 11th canto as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? How is it that he now rejects Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction, or let me say, appears to reject Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction, and goes off and starts his own sampradaya instead of being an enthusiastic follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Very, very interesting, very wonderful. It's a longer discussion, but as I mentioned, it's something that bears to be meditated upon. But once again, is part of the Lord's pastimes. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami says that Lord Chaitanya's interaction with Balabhacharya was very much an affectionate and joking one. But still, it's an interesting thing to contemplate on. And so I close with a quote by Bhishma Dev. He said, Nayasya karachit rajan puman veda vidhitsitra. No one can understand the plan of the Lord. So to understand everything about what goes on in Krishna's pastimes, no one can do that. Even Lord Balaram can't. But we contemplate these things, and by contemplating them, we are absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and by being absorbed in Krishna consciousness, we advance in spiritual life. Hare Krishna.